Today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Today, this very day. And I have had a crazy journey personally, just with preparing for this message, listening and thinking and feeling all the feelings that you can feel. One, just for speaking, but then also speaking about something that is difficult, like this. It is a difficult thing to talk about. Especially feeling ill-equipped to talk about it. I live here in Terre Haute, Indiana, right? Terre Haute, Indiana. And the thought of persecution in America and all those things is very difficult. Like, it's difficult to grasp. It's difficult to fathom. I've had privilege to journey with Lawrence and other people that have around the city who have been praying for the last 8 days over the persecuted church, going through the Beatitudes, going through Matthew, and blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are those who are persecuted. All those things. It is hard, and I want to give you guys from the get-go that if you feel, because I'm telling you this from my own experience, if you feel anything that is aside of godliness and gratitude, it's probably not a lot from God. It's that's condemnation. So I don't want anybody to feel condemnation or shame, or I need to go and die right now because of this. That is not my heart for any of this. And that's a difficult balance. It's a difficult balance. It really is. But it's more of a conviction. God gives conviction, not condemnation, right? And so wading through that, it's difficult. We're gonna hear some difficult things. So again, I'm glad that the kids are upstairs, but also, they also need to know these things, so I will leave that all to you guys to determine how that sounds or looks. But it is a difficult thing, and so we're going to talk a little bit. Mainly, the focus is going to be about how, because today is the International Day of Prayer, how can we effectively pray for those who are being persecuted, our brothers and sisters? And I want that to be in your mind running. That is the backdrop between every single thing that we think about. And I'm gonna try not to cry myself during all of this, but that they are brothers and sisters. They are brothers and sisters. So thinking about that, not that they are somebody in Iran, not thinking that they are a Muslim person, but they are brothers and sisters. And so that is again, the backdrop that is running in our mind. And so in Scripture, we hear of persecution a lot throughout literally pretty much the whole Bible. We hear about persecution. We hear, and I kind of wrote down a definition here that persecution is the act of harassing, oppressing, and killing people because of their difference from a society or a people group or a government or any of those things. Christians are persecuted because of their belief in Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. They are persecuted because we believe that he is king. We believe that he is Lord. We believe that he is the ruler of our lives. And that comes in conflict with the world. That comes in conflict with governments. That comes in conflict with all the people groups that are trying to control the people that live in their country, whatever it is. And that's hard to come when you cross that road. You get to that road and you're about to, like, what do I do here? Because he is Lord, but you're telling me that is, again, this is all difficult things. I'm not telling you I have the answers to any of these things. I'm not telling you that I know. It's just this is where I've kind of traveled and thought about. So the Bible records persecutions all the way starting back in Genesis, really, if you think about Cain and Abel. I mean, he was a righteous person, unrighteous, right? Then he killed him. That was That was a persecution of that. And so when we think about that in the Old Testament, we also think of the Philistines and the Amalekites and how they constantly attacked Jews because they rejected them, rejected that they rejected the idolatry, that they didn't worship the one true God. That's they rejected those things. So it was, again, persecution again. That's a hard thing. Daniel's story, being thrown into the lion's den, persecuted during the captivity in Babylon. That's another part of it. I mean, all these stories that we hear, Jesus warned us of that we would face persecution. In Matthew 23:24, he says, I think he's going to have it up here, is that some of them you will kill and crucify, and others you will be flogged in synagogues and pursue you from town to town. He said that you will face that. And so also in the book of Acts, and Acts is the actions of all the disciples and the movement of God throughout all of that region. And it's a struggle. The whole thing is about struggle and persevering and enduring. And Paul writing letters of you need to endure and persevere and all those things. That is about the persecution, right? That is what it is. Ananias in Acts 9. I don't know if he's got it up there. Ananias, Acts 9, verses 15 to 18. I'll just pull it up here. He actually goes and... where are we at? 15. Verses 15. So Ananias is hearing from the Lord, and he says, go to this man, who he's talking about, Saul, and he's saying that this man is the chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. And this is, again, where Saul has been traveling around killing Christians, persecuting them. And I'm proclaiming, he's going to proclaim the name and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer. And then Ananias went to the house and entered, placing his hands on the one Saul. And he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road where you're coming has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is where I kind of want to start with, again, thinking of this kingdom mindset. This eternal mindset when it comes to being persecuted. If you go back one slide, he actually, Ananias comes to him and he says, and Andy has pointed this out many a times, he says, brother. Jesus, the Holy Spirit was speaking to him and said, go see this guy who's been persecuted. And the first thing that he says is brother. This guy was a murderer. He murdered and persecuted and all the things that you can think of. And he called him brother. That, again, I'm trying to put myself in all of these, in these shoes. I'm trying to put myself in all of these shoes of, would I go to this guy who is doing what he's doing, free to do whatever he wants to do, and I call him brother? That is hard. That is difficult. Stephen in Acts 7, I don't have that up there. But Stephen's the first Christian martyr who's being persecuted for spreading the gospel. And I want to point out that the last thing that he says here that in Acts 7 at the very end, about 57 is where that is. He's not going to have it up there. Stephen said, I see heaven open up. And I just think of the song that we just sang, like heaven opened up over me. And he said, I see heaven open over me, and the Son of Man standing there at the right hand. The men were covering their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They didn't want to hear it. And they rushed him and dragged him out to the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of this man, Saul. Again, that brother. The brother, right? Laid their coats to this man who said to do this. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed out loud. And I want this to resonate for you. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And then he fell to his feet and fell asleep. And again, I think this is, again, this is hard. This is hard. So if you guys are like, ah, Deli, I'm not getting this, I'm not understanding. Me neither. But it is by the grace of God and the Spirit of God that is in him that is able to say to his persecutors, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Jesus, what did Jesus say? The very first thing he said when he was on the cross, I don't know if I think I have it later in here, but I'm just thinking of it right now, is that the very first thing he says is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That's backwards. Like, ah, I'm going to have vengeance on you. Revenge. That's what we think. Avenge my death, my friends. Like, that's just not the kingdom of God. That's hard. I'm going to keep saying that's hard. I'm going to tell you guys that right now. I want to just point out to you that right now, again, so we've talked about Genesis and Acts and all that. Right now, there are places that are called restricted or hostile places where our brothers and sisters are being persecuted. And daily, there's a daily reality that more than 350 million Christians are being persecuted today. Today, 350 million Christians being persecuted today. And again, I can't even fathom that. Some of the names, I'm gonna just list, it's actually a little flyer that, again, Lawrence, he printed out, and I really loved praying over this. And it is the top 50 most dangerous countries to live in as a Christian. And there's extreme levels of persecution, and then the very high levels, and they've got these stats and all that stuff. And I just wanted to mention these because at, towards the end of me speaking, I would love for us to join together and pray 30 seconds to a minute, just silent prayers lifted up, again, to our brothers and sisters. And so North Korea is the number one most persecuted, extreme levels of persecution in all the world. For me, I don't know why, because I know nothing about Yemen, but Yemen is number 7. That kind of came up to my mind. And India, I care a lot about India because there are actually students that are from India that go to ISU, and some of them have come and they actually find Jesus here, and that is amazing. And so I just want you guys to be aware. That's awareness. And all those things. So, Egypt. What spirit are you telling me right now? And I don't know if any of you guys care about Egypt, but that's what I heard. Ethiopia. I say that because Kelly actually visited Ethiopia, and so I know that that is a heart. Somaliland. All those places. Somalia is number 3. Mexico. Where is Mexico? Yeah, see, that's what I'm just saying right now. I just want us to be aware. Southern Mexico is number 37 on the list of 50. And so, I don't know if any of you have visited Mexico. I know that, is Link in Mexico right now? Link is in Mexico right now. I don't know if he's in southern Mexico, but just thinking of that, being aware. Restricted and hostile. So I wanted to tell you the difference between those two things real quick. Restricted nation describes a country where government-sanctioned circumstances or anti-Christian laws lead to persecution of Christians, lead to harassment, imprisonment, deprived possessions, liberties because of their witness. Also, these countries have government policies or practice that prevents Christians from obtaining Bibles and Christian literature. Jeremy has mentioned to me many a times, this just came to me because he's like, Deli, why are you getting rid of that suitcase? You might smuggle Bibles into other places. Like, he's literally said that to me. And I was like, I never thought about that. but that is when we take this right here, this Bible, we understand I don't think we understand the worth of this Bible right here. I was listening to a book, is Insanity of God, and I don't know if anybody has ever heard of that book. I totally suggest it. It's literally 10 hours to listen to, because I can't read that long. I'll fall asleep. But Insanity of God, and there, the guy is interviewing. He literally goes, he just feels the Spirit led to go interview across China, Africa, Europe, Somaliland, India, all those places. It's literally of just him reporting these interviews that he had. And at one of them, the guy mentions that there was one Bible in the entire town, and they would rip pages out of that Bible to disperse to the other people, because that is their lifeline. This book is a lifeline for those under persecution. It is a lifeline for us. Let us not be complacent in what this Bible can do for us. And so I think about that sometimes. What I think to rip this out, because I want Peggy to know the book of Titus. And one thing that I did laugh about was they said that I feel sorry for the guy who had the book of Philemon, and had, you know, it's like two pages, and the guy who had the whole book of, you know, like Romans. And like, I was thinking about that. That was kind of funny. It was a funny little joke there. But I think about that, like ripping the scripture, and I fold it and I give it to you to say, read this, know this, because this is going to save your life. That is difficult. That is difficult. They're going to show a video, and it's actually the same video that, Lawrence played earlier, and I thought it was very impactful. It's like 4 minutes or so, something like that. But it is a guy talking about a lady that was persecuted, but also helps us think about gratitude and thankfulness. So they're gonna throw that up there and play that, and then we'll continue here.
It was so cold during the night, he would suffer hypothermia. So hot during the day that your skin would burn to the edge of the container. The bugs that bite you felt like fire all over your body. But like driving a nail into wood, every hit, every beating, every blow to my body drew me closer to God. These are some of the notes I took when I had a chance to spend a few days with a lady called Helen Bahani. What you don't understand, or what you don't get when you first meet Helen, is her past. You see, Helen spent 2.5 years locked inside a metal shipping container for refusing to recant her faith. And not only that, she taught me one of the most profound spiritual lessons of my life. She taught me about thankfulness. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have? In Helen's case, every day for 2.5 years, she woke up on the floor of a jagged metal shipping container inside a prison where she was beaten and tortured regularly. But one of the most incredible stories for me is her response to a beating that very nearly took her life. You see, Helen had been writing notes of encouragement and sending them to fellow prisoners, putting scriptures on them that she could memorize. And the guards came to her and they said, "Helen, where is your Bible?" And she said, "I don't have one." And they said, "Is it in your head?" She said, "Yeah, it's in my head." And they said, "Well, we're going to have to beat it out of you." They proceeded to grab Helen and they dragged her to a courtyard, placed her in the middle, and started to beat her with wooden batons. What she does next has single-handedly changed my Christian walk forever. You see, in the middle of this beating, Helen stops and looks at the guy hitting her and says to him, "I do not hate you, for you were just carrying out an order. But you need to know that I'm carrying out an order too. And that's not to renounce Jesus. So carry on. Carry on? I mean, when they were finished beating her, they simply threw her body back into the metal shipping container. And as she lay on the floor in the container, she began to sing the following. Thank you for the cold nights. Thank you for the hot days. Thank you for the hunger, for the sickness. Thank you for the bugs that bite my body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thankfulness. Have you ever stopped for a minute to think about what role it plays in your life? I mean, what role thankfulness plays in your everyday? If you're like me, it's probably not much. You see, I ask God for a lot. But in comparison, I thank Him for very little. The more I think about people like Helen Bahani and the persecuted church, the more it begins to dawn on me that it's actually reversed. You see, they thank God for almost everything. And in comparison, they ask Him for very little. And this is because they're not following an institution called Christianity. They're following a living God. We're following a living God who walked the earth and who today walks the earth through His Spirit. Our gratitude, our thankfulness, and the level by which we measure it should not be based off a set of rules or expectations and buzzwords, I guess, created by this Christian pop culture. It should be defined by Jesus Christ, who walked with broken people, loved the unlovable, stood in the face of religion, led with a character and set of principles that He would not compromise for anyone or any deal. Didn't seem to care about things like brand, fashion label, return on investment, number of friends on Facebook or followers on Instagram. And didn't mind looking awkward if saying no meant the right outcome was achieved. And on top of all that, loved a dying and broken world with a passion that could not be filled, stopped, watered down or contained. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who ultimately laid down His life so that a sinful, broken, and dislocated group of people could have eternal life with Him. And for that, I'm forever thankful. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have?
So again, I want to remind you, this is not to make you feel shameful. This is not to make you feel condemned. I want to cast that out right now. I want to cast that out. It is to help us align and think and be convicted into the kingdom of God, into things that never perish, into things that are eternal, have an eternal perspective every single day. It's hard, and it's heavy. This is heavy. But that is the nature of the kingdom of heaven. We can't fathom that sometimes. We think that Jesus is here to make life better and great and awesome for us, and you should find Him because He loves you, and He's going to help you pay your car off. You know, whatever it is that we think, But it's thinking of the gratitude. The fact that she sings a heart song, that is what sustains heart songs and scripture and singing from the joy that comes from His Spirit that overflows from us. And I thank you for joining me in worship this morning because that is not as easy anywhere else. That is not as easy. And so as we are thinking and reflecting and just understanding the cost, right? We're weighing the cost. My wife loves to say we have to count the cost in everything. We have to count the cost. And that's hard to think about sometimes. So I have five things here that are to help us pray, to help us kind of focus us and align us in what to pray for. I don't think that our prayers can be super wrong, but I also think sometimes we can pray for the wrong things, right? Like, Lord, please remove this from me because I don't want it. You know, please, whatever it is, heal me because I can't bear it. Whatever it is, that sometimes we can just be a little off. We can be a little off in the things that we ask God for. And so I have here, as these five things, we're just going to go kind of right through these. Courage, and if you're writing this down, courage, I don't have it on the screens or anything. Contentment, comfort, compassion, and composure. Alliteration, they all start with a C. It kind of helps a little bit. I did not come up with this. I'm not that smart with alliteration, okay? First off, courage. When we think about praying for our brothers and sisters, to have the courage to have the fact that their freedoms and the securities and their safety is going to be removed from them. It's going to be removed from them. And there's genuine fear. There's genuine fear in the fact that their freedom is removed from them. And that they have no idea. And you have to have courage to be, courage to look at threats and have boldness empowered by the Spirit to be supported and dedicated and diligent. That is courageous. That is courageous. So praying for our brothers and sisters to have that. In 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 58, I don't know actually what half of my scriptures are because I write like 20 of them on here. So, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up by victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm with courage. Stand firm with courage. Let nothing move you with bravery. And always give thanks to always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Stand firm. Praying for our brothers and sisters to stand firm, to be courageous, to be faithful in the face of oppression, opposition, without cowardice, demonstrating zeal. All those things, just courage, thinking about and praying for our brothers and sisters. Because there can be apprehension sometimes. There can be apprehension. And again, I have no place for this. I am not equipped. But this is what I've heard and listened and read 10 hours of a book and another book and this book and hearing and thinking and listening. The people of God refuse to be controlled by fear. That's again, difficult because we're fearful as well. But to stand firm because our Lord Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf, and we can stand firm to know that the hope that we have before us is worth it. Let that sink in. It is worth it. It is worth it. Contentment. This is why it's worth it. Finding everlasting joy in Christ. Contentment is something that can separate the faithful from the unfaithful. Finding our joy in the Lord apart from all else is key. It's key to walking with Him. It's key to knowing that we are family. all of that. Government powers try to legislate and restrict laws and intimidate citizens. And I've read things where that just because one person in the family follows Jesus, they are now removed from that family. And by the way, that person that had kids, they're no longer allowed to go to school. They're kicked out of school. And that guy who is also, or girl that was following Jesus, now can't get a job. All those things. And now they don't have money. now they're poor. But blessed are the poor in spirit. Because they are realizing that he can give it all. He has everything. He has everything. So let our prayer for our persecuted brothers and sisters, that they may experience contentment, godly contentment, overriding joy that is only found in Christ. Only found in Christ. He sees all earthly things as loss. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with whatever you have. Because God has said this right here, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence that the Lord is our helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What can they do? Nothing. Nothing. Because it is, again, an eternal perspective. That is hard. You have to constantly tell yourself that. Like, this is an eternal perspective. But my car broke down. This is an eternal perspective. But I lost my job. Eternal perspective. That's what you have to constantly remind yourself. This is for us, too. I want you to know, this is what we're praying for them, but this is also for us as well, who suffer and are persecuted in whatever way. So, and then also Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ our Lord, for the, whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Do you consider them garbage compared to him? Do we? That's hard. Again, that is so hard. But the fact that people lose all their things, all their what they think is going to give them worth and value, but he is still there, standing right beside us, telling you who you are, all those things. The next one is comfort. So we have courage, contentment, comfort. So Lord, we pray for those who are being persecuted, that they know that you are close to them. We pray that you draw close and you know you've been through it. You've experienced it. Some of those friends that have been persecuted in horrible ways. And again, that is hard to hear. I have a book here that my friend Rebecca, she's right there, she let me read a little bit of yesterday. And Lee Shawn is a guy in this book, and it's Every Good Gift, Sufficient Grace in the Need of Time. And Lee Shawn was a guy who had a friend that was a commander in the regime in China. And if I may get any of it wrong, I'm sorry. She's read it like lots of times. I just read it once. And he had a friend who was the commander, but Lee Shawn ended up following Jesus. They kind of went different ways. And this commander had continually, he had gotten caught and he was in prison. And this commander was trying to break his will. And they were friends, and they were, you know, this conversation back and forth of like, I am your friend. You just need to renounce Jesus. And then he says, no, like, I know that my God will be here. He's my helper. He will provide for me. And so then he stops feeding him. and he doesn't eat. He brings him back in. He's like, listen, just say that the party of the government is the one who provides for you. And he's like, no. And he's like, okay. So then he like strips him down and sends him back out into this, and it's shivering. It seems to me like it's wintertime, but he's shivering, and he is naked and not fed and weak. He again brings him back, and the guy brings in like a plate of food, and he can smell it, and he's like feeling weak, and he just can't even fathom it. And then the guy says, just look, you can have this food. Here's a coat. It's from the party for your forgiveness for following this silly God that you think of. And that is, I can't even fathom that. And this guy, Lishan, he starts to wonder. He's like, where is God? What is he doing? Why am I here? And he ends up calling for the guard because he was replaying in his mind how he would say that, yes, I renounce Jesus. And at that moment, the doors opened up, and he felt strong, and he stood, and he felt warm. And he knew that it was Jesus, and immediately he fell to his feet and started to worship. Immediately. The guard actually came because he yelled for it. He said, hey, guard, come here. You know, he came. And he stood there. The guard, what I read is he stood there in fear of like what just happened. He ended up being released because his friend, the commander, was like, I don't want any of that to spread throughout this prison. You can go. And I just think of that, the fact that he is our provider. He is our comfort in times of need. And that is something that we need to remember. Our human spirit can break, just like Lishan's. It can break, and that's the way we are. We're human. I was just talking to Andy before this, and he said there are tactics and all these things to break people's human spirit, and they break, just like a broken arm. They break. There are things that are said, threats that are given about your family is going to be taken from you. We're going to take your kids and whatever it is, whether they do it or not. But he is close. Jesus is close to that. He cares and he comforts and he gives you the eternal perspective of that. Compassion. This is one of the hardest ones. Love and forgiveness. We pray for our brothers and sisters to have love and forgiveness. Very key distinction is what? God is love. You will know your followers because you love others. The capacity to love our enemies. The capacity to love those who are the persecutors. Again, this is hard. It's beyond any natural human ability. It truly is. It's beyond any natural human ability to have compassion on someone who is hurting you, who is harming you, who is threatening you. And compassion for our enemies is lived out in one form, forgiveness. Again, I said before, I Acts 7, where Stephen is talking, and he says, forgive them. Forgive that sin. In Luke 22, Jesus is saying, forgive them. For they do not know what they do. Compassion in the face of our oppression testifies that there is tremendous love of God. And we pray that into our brothers and sisters. That goes past all of our understanding because we can't fathom it. We're sitting here trying to fathom it, and we can't fathom it. I can't fathom it. I'm not going to act like you guys are fathoming what I'm saying. And it's, again, it's hard. In Romans 12, 11 through 14. He's going to throw that up there. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's in the Bible, right? That's in the Bible. Again, that is hard to have compassion, to bless someone who is harming you. Helen, who was in that video, I do not hate you. That's difficult. That's difficult. The last one is composure. Composure is also difficult. To be rooted and grounded and having self-control and fortitude of that only God can give you for your mind. Only the Spirit of God can give you. Friends, in 2 Timothy 1:7, what kind of spirit does he give us? The spirit that God gave us is not timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline, or a sound mind. A sound mind, strength of mind, to understand and push through the evils and push through all of those things and seek what is good and think upon those things. Ruminate, meditate, to fortify our minds, because the enemy tries to deceive and put brother against brother and lie and all those things. In 2 Corinthians 1:12, this is what we boast, our conscience that testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, especially in our relations with you. Integrity and godly sincerity. Sincerity. And so with that integrity, with that godly conscience that we have. So we pray again for our persecuted brothers and sisters to remain in line with God's word, to be grounded in faith, reliant on his goodness and his strength and the confidence during extreme struggles. And we align with his word. We align with his word. That fortifies us. So Arnick, as you can come up, man. So as we think about all these things, there's a lot on, I mean, there's even more going on in my head that I have to have self-control by the Spirit just to not throw out there, because that's my nature. I will just blah. And as Arnick is playing, and I would just love to have us sit and think about this explosion of faith in the darkest places, because he is truly greater than anything anyone can imagine. He is truly greater, and he is worth it. I don't know if you think he's worth it. I'm telling you that he's worth it. I'm telling you that he's worth it. And persecution is real. It's not in our Bible. It's not just only in our Bible, but it is real. But again, we pray for courage. We pray for comfort. We pray for contentment. We pray for compassion. We pray for the other thing that was that I can't remember here. Composure, did I say that one? Okay, composure, yeah, sorry. Composure. So we pray for all of those things. We pray for heart songs to come in the midst of pain, for us to sing to the Lord, to cry out to the Lord. And I thank you. I understand that we are standing here with freedom to worship, but let us also worship on behalf of our brothers and sisters who cannot. Help those things to come out of the joy. Help the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to speak when they are too weak to stand. Songs, pretty much in all the things that I've read, songs just come out and people start to sing them when they're in prison. I don't know about you, but I think that somebody was singing in the Bible, I don't remember who it was, and chains fell off, and the doors opened, and then the guard is there, and he's like, I'm about to hurt myself, and he says no, don't do that. Let me tell you why I am in here, because he is worth it. He is worth it. Let me tell you about him, and I'm going to baptize your whole family. Praise God for that. I pray for that. I pray for the fact that chains fall off, prison doors open, and the whole camp that is imprisoning them, every single one of them gets baptized in your name, Jesus, in your name. In all of those dark places. So as we're going to do communion as well. Andy's going to close us out in communion, but I would just, let's pray for a second here. If any of those countries, Yemen, Egypt, Mexico, India, Liberia, Afghanistan, any of those places. To our brothers and sisters. Give courage, bravery, gospel boldly, speak what never fades, what is eternal. Have contentment for whatever they are, that they are alive, breathing, feeling the sun for the cold days, for the warm nights. God, for them to have compassion, to love their enemies, to bless them, to bless their families, to be able to speak, to see them as you, who you created. Their persecutors are made in your image, God. To know that you can provide in your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. So let all of our prayers be so. You can continue praying if you. Let us not take lightly our freedom. Let us not take that lightly. Because we know that our persecuted brothers and sisters would not give that up in their persecution. So I'm going to have you guys come up, and there's two trays in the back, two trays in the front. Andy's going to lead us in doing communion, but we'll sing with our communion. And I want you to have that mindset as we are singing and going to take communion together, that we are singing on their behalf. We are taking communion on their behalf. We are reading our Bible and the words of God on their behalf. All those things. So I ask you guys to come and make your way, and we'll sing and all of that. So thank you guys for hearing, listening, and praying.
Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately the hottest desert, I travel near or far for your glory. I would do anything just to see you, to behold you glory, I would do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. Oh, I'm desperately waiting to be where you travel near or far for your glory. I would do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For to see you, to behold you as my King, I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I've got to be
First of all, Deli, you did a great job, buddy. I'm proud of you. That was a tremendous presentation of a difficult topic. You did great. Thank you. Because your heart came through. That's what qualifies you to stand behind this desk. Your heart comes through. This is called the Eucharist. Most of us don't say that. But Eucharist means the great thanks. We call it communion, but you could call this the great thank you. The big thank you. So I want you to think about that as we do this together in just a moment. And I would encourage you with three things. There are three things on my mind for me, and I want to share them with you. Three things. Three things a message like that does for me, to me, in me, and that I want to happen through me. The very first thing I want is to hear a message like that and have gratitude and be thankful. I'm not sure if there's any persecution in my life. I don't think so. Thankful. For this window, Jeremy, throw that verse up there that I asked you to. It's one of the last things. The next one, the next slide. With integrity, godly sincerity, we've done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. For this window of grace that we have, not worldly wisdom. We're not in this place because of worldly wisdom. We're here because of God's grace. And for that, I'm thankful. We're grateful. Grateful. So I hope that that's the first thing you're thinking of is grateful. And then the second thing as we do this together, I hope we can feel compassion. Just a sense of love, and may it extend in a supernatural way from this small room out to the places and the hearts and the saints of God that need it. Compassion. And then the third thing that it does in me, makes me want to be tough. Because I think we're soft. And it makes me want to be tougher. It makes me want to recognize that if all the disciples found their way to a persecuted death, I don't actually think I'm any better than those guys. And I don't want to be tough in myself. I just want my faith to be strong and have a tenacity and a strength that's not like a thermometer that changes temperature with whatever's on the outside, but it's like a thermostat and it sets the temperature. And that temperature is set by the Holy Spirit, and I follow that. So maybe all three of those, maybe one out of three, the gratitude, compassion, and just simply toughness. To be able to recognize, Deli, the guy you were talking about, was the guy that stood and looked while Stephen was stoned to death. The guy that you were talking about that was chained and sang at midnight in Acts 16 was the man a few chapters earlier that stood and the coats of the men that stoned Stephen were thrown at his feet, and his name was Saul. In Acts 16, he's called Paul. The tables have turned, but God is still strong. And I want you to think about how a Philippian jailer's family ever gets baptized if Paul's not in prison. God could probably do it, but it's not the way he did it. And sometimes we'll find ourselves in difficult spots. For what? For the glory of God, and may we give him thanks. Would you stand with me and let's take this together? Lord, we thank you for your body. I don't know if this is irony or just in this moment, but we're thanking you for giving your body in the midst of struggle when we think about giving our own. So may you give us your grace, because we are thankful for you. This thing that you did on that cross is what changed our destiny. We thank you for giving your body. Let's take this together. And for your blood. We know that we overcome the enemy of our soul. You want to say it with me? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We take this in honor to you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. You're welcome to thank him all over this place. We thank you for your gift. We thank you for your life. We take this with a compassion for our brothers and sisters that are not able to do this today. And somehow in a supernatural transaction, would you give them strength and faith and power? Right now, I believe it right now. That's what I'm calling out. Right now, God. Let it be so right now. The transaction of our faith, let it extend in supernatural strength to exactly where it needs to go. We don't have to know. You know, and you prompt us, and we say yes. We give ourselves to that right now. We give ourselves to that right now. Because we believe you are supernatural. We believe in your spoken word that transitions over miles and miles, water and borders and countries. We exercise your dominion in this world right now. Let people be free. Let them be delivered. Let them be provided for. By your name, which is above every name, let knees bow to your name today, right now. Let knees of oppressors bow to your name right now, Jesus. Let our voices echo through the heavenlies. Let it be so. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We believe in you. You are that big and you are that strong. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Turn something on in our soul that has an awareness from this moment forward. Pray it in your name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. 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 So as right before I dismiss you, you help people today. Hope you know that. Dale helped us, and we help people today. I want you to believe, because I do, your prayers went somewhere. We speak and things happen. The prompting of the Spirit, we say yes to it, and things happen. We don't have to know, we just say yes. And may the strongholds in this area bow their knees to the name of Jesus. And we would like to be faithful that whatever that costs us, we would like to be willing to pay whatever price that is for our glorious Savior. It's not a quid pro quo. He loves us and we are His. But Almighty God, lead us into spaces where your light needs to shine, and that's what we're praying. Amen. You helped people today. Would you like to help some kids? You can help some kids today. Can't they, Karen? They can help kids by getting red shoe boxes and filling them. And not just tossing things in from Dollar General or wherever, but praying over them and believing God to guide them exactly where they need to go. And the note that you put in is a note that someone needs to hear months from now, the timing being perfect. Do you believe that with me? Karen's going to help you with that. And you can also sign up to be here and receive those boxes from others, as over the next several weeks, we're a drop-off site for that, for Operation Christmas Child. And then one last thing. The second Sunday in December, we're going to have a baby dedication. And several babies are going to actually be up here, and parents and family. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you can come see me. You can see Deli. Is there anything on the Church Center app on that? Okay. So just see Deli or myself. We would love to do that. That's not the salvation of your children. It's the dedication of your family. Probably more about the parents than the child. But it's also a huge statement that this body of faith joins with you, and you are not alone. That was part of our prayer today, that somehow supernaturally people would feel and believe and be reminded of the fact that they are part of a body and they are not alone. And if you'd like to participate in that Sunday, second Sunday of December, it's going to be a beautiful day. Can we pray together? And before we go dismissing, let's just pray. Father, we worship you. We love you. We thank you. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful moment of challenge and yet grace. What a beautiful moment of connection and compassion and courage. Let all of this move around and in and through us for your name's sake, to the glory of God Almighty. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Be blessed.